Center for Families. So we appreciate the Kinesics coming up here and doing that. It's great to see everyone. I'll stand here so you can, now I can see you. We continue in the book of Romans, God's letter to us to explain what salvation is all about, so that we can have a firm grip on it and we can also explain it to others. So that's important. Thank you, Kelly. And as we're starting chapter 5, I'm going to do first half of it, verses 1 through 11. And the question is, do we boast or do we not boast? Because we're told already in chapter 3 and chapter 4, we don't boast. We're not to boast. And then three times here in chapter 5, he tells us to boast. So what is it? What's the message to us here today? In 3, he says, where's boasting? It's excluded. And then he said, what about our father Abraham? Did he boast? No, he didn't have a boast because his righteousness was given to him as a gift. Now let's look at that word boast. What does it mean? Well, it's to exult, not exalt. To celebrate a success, to celebrate a victory, to rejoice, to take pride in something, to glory in something. Especially some great work or a victory or a deliverance. And usually this is after a sustained effort, a long struggle, maybe a war, maybe some work or some long, difficult training that you went through to earn a degree or a high level of education, whether or athletic or professional skill. Think of that. Now, I want to use an illustration. And when I thought of this illustration, the event was still future. But now that event is in the past. And so for some of you, this may be a painful illustration. But we hope that it'll be an instructive one. Think of a great struggle, a long contest. And I thought of this because we were, for Thanksgiving, we're down with Debbie's family in Ohio, where they were rooting for a different team. And they look forward to this game all year round, and they don't even say who they're against. They say the team up north. And I'm afraid there's been some gloating and some boasting now coming from that direction. But I just want you to know that this is a natural reaction. We do this all the time. There are times in your life when you need to celebrate, when you need to rejoice, when you need to exalt, when you need to boast. And as you were watching that game, there were times that you were rejoicing, right? Every time the maize and blue scored. But then there are other times when the other guys rejoiced. So that's maybe a little bit painful. But here we see it. This is normal. Even the word exalt comes from the Latin. It means to leap up. Leap up for joy. And so we see some people giving high fives here and leaping about. And then we want to ask this question. Is there a time for us? Is there a time for us as Christians to rejoice, to boast, to leap up and down? And then we're reminded, well, we don't boast in God because we have the law. He mentioned this in chapter 2. We don't boast about the law because we've all broken the law. The law convicts us of sin. We couldn't keep it. But we do boast in God because of Christ, what he's done for us in the past, the present, and the future. So three times in the book here, he tells us to boast. Boast and boast and boast. Or rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Exalt, exalt, exalt. And that's what we're going to look at. So let's read this now together. Or I'll read it and you follow along. Therefore, having been justified by faith, isn't that what we've been talking about? Yes, that's what it's about. We've been justified by faith. God offers it to us as a gift, and we receive it by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace now, through whom also we've obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So this is our position. We are standing in grace. We're standing in a grace position with God. And this word introduction or access is very important. It means to be ushered into the presence of someone very, very important. That you just can't go there on your own, but you have been given this introduction. Now you're in the presence of that important person. He says, we stand in this grace and we exalt or we rejoice or we boast in the hope of the glory of God. That's an important word. He uses it three times in this chapter. Hope. Now notice, and remember back in chapter 3, it says all of us have sinned and fallen short of what? The glory of God. What's he say we have hope of now? The glory of God. We don't have it yet. Well, it belongs to us actually, but there's a difference between owning something and possessing it, right? There can be a gap between the time when it's yours legally and when it's actually you actually have it. And so we're waiting. It belongs to us. Christ earned it. He's sharing it with us, but we don't have it yet. But we have a hope. In chapter 8, verse 24, he says, if you see something, you don't have to hope for it. But if you don't see it, you hope for it, you wait for it expectantly. And that's what we're doing. And then he says, not only this, but we exalt in something else. We rejoice, we boast in something else. What's that? Our tribulations. Now, think back to the Ohio State game. Were you exulting in your tribulations? It's a little bit harder to do, isn't it? James says the same thing about our trials, our tribulations. He says, but we exult in them knowing that tribulation bring about perseverance. And perseverance brings about proven character. And proven character produces hope. And this hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so this hope will not, we won't be ashamed of this hope. We won't be disappointed by this hope. This hope is going to happen. And we are going to exalt then. But he says, we don't have to wait to then. We can exalt now. Now, why in the world would you exalt over tribulation? Well, we'll see that that's proof that God is at work in us. And he's keeping his promise. But he goes on, verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think of that. People, parents might die for their children. Someone might die for their loved one. You might even die for someone that you really like. Or if you know someone's a good person, you might die. But who in the world dies for their enemies? Who would do that? Who has that kind of love? God does. He says, Christ died for us while we're sinners. Much more than that, having been justified by his blood, we will be saved from the wrath of God through him. For while we were enemies, and that's what we were, we'd broken God's law, we had rebelled against him, we were enemies. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. We're brought back into relationship with God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, that's where we are now, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Perhaps some of you have read the book by Major Ian Thomas, The Saving Life of Christ. How many have read that book? Okay, not too many, but it's a good book. I'll talk about it in a minute. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have received the reconciliation. So verse 11 sums it up. Now we said this is past, present, and future. What's the present? Excuse me. The past. That was the past. Christ died for us. Now the present. Jesus is not the way he was. When he came to earth, he came in weakness and humiliation. Is that what he is now? Is that the condition he's in now? He's in a glorified and a state of glory and power. And Jesus said, I will come to you. I will leave you and I'll come back. I will send you the Comforter. Jesus says he's with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus physically is in heaven, but he's with us through his Spirit now. And that's the present. That's the situation that we have. Because of what Christ did in the past on earth in his earthly body in the past, he won the victory over sin and death. Now we have him in heaven, exalted, glorified, powerful, and working in us and for us. This is a proof. This is a proof that what God started, he's continuing. And what he continues, he will finish. Now, we're told there that this produces in us proven character. Different translations, it's the word dokime, which means something that's gone through a test and has succeeded in the test and it's been approved. So it means proven by testing or experience, and therefore it can mean experience, mature. It means you have character, that you're approved. Now, I want you to think of some times when you had to go through a test. I just lost my machine again. But if you would go to the next picture. And when you passed that test, you were happy. Now, was that at all stressful for anybody who went through that recently? No, I'm talking about the parents. Yes, and I mean, kids can be really, really nervous when they're studying for this and when they're in the car driving. It's a stressful time, and also for the parents. But that's not the only one. Here, how about this? We see people taking their tests in school, and then they pass, and what do they do with their mortarboards? They show their exaltation. They show that they're happy because of this. There's another one. Some people go through this training, and they work really hard at this. Some people succeed, but even as they go through, you don't just stay at the same level. You go through different levels, right? And what's the first belt? Does anybody know? White. And then I looked on the internet and there's different, all kinds of colors. I only thought there was white, green, brown, and black, but there's many, many colors. But the important one is white because that's where you all start. But then they go on, and this is after much, much work and a long period. We have another one. A little more exciting than driving a car because it's three-dimensional, and if it stalls, it's not, you just can't get out and walk back home, you know? And so this kind of license takes more skill and is more dangerous, and there are many levels to this. How many of you have our pilots? Anyone here? Okay. Well, yeah. And then there's the private license, and then they can get instrument, and then they get what they call complex airplane, which is the wheels go up and the tilt of the blade tilts. And so there's many different levels that they can go through, and they want them to be tested and be able to do it. And before they can fly people, they have to fly cargo, and they have to have many, many hours, hundreds and thousands of hours, not hundreds of thousands, but thousands of hours. Now, aren't you glad that the pilots to fly you around in a plane actually have proven character when it comes to this? Well, that's what God wants to do with us. That's what God is doing with us. He's working in us now. He's using tribulation. These are like different levels of testing, like going from your operator's permit to your motorcycle permit to your CDL and, you know, chauffeur's license or whatever, or going from your private pilot to your instrument rating to your complex airplane to your multi-engine and then up to commercial. These are different levels. Or you go from white belt to green belt to brown belt or yellow and purple, wherever they fit in there. I'm not sure. But you go up different levels. And so God is using it, and all of these are accompanied with what? Trials, testing. Yes, so let's consider the Ohio State game just another trial and that God is using to perfect that team. But God's not just concerned about the present, He's also concerned about the future. And he's praying for us so our future is sure. Let's look at this word, hope. He uses it three times. What is it? It's an expectation. It's a prospect, something you're looking forward to. It's confidence in a trustworthy person or expectation of a divinely provided future. This is the hope that we have. And the reason that our hope is sure, is Paul tells us in the text, is because of the kind of love that this is based in. This is not human love. This is love from God. This is divine love, and divine love is eternal and unstoppable. So that's what we do. We boast. We boast in God and what Christ has done for us. And he has fulfilled the law. He's reconciled us to God, and he's at work in us. He's at work in us now. So we are saved by both the past earthly death of Christ and the present and future eternal life of Christ. So the saving life of Christ is just as important, or some people would say more important, but I'd say they're just as important as the death of Christ. You're saved both by his death and his life, because he is now alive, working in us through the Holy Spirit, praying for us, and he's bringing us into that future. Because how do you get to the future? What do you have to go through to get to the future? The present. And when's that? Now. And if there's a tomorrow? Tomorrow. And the next day and the next day. We don't know how long it is. But he is there making sure we get through. So for some people, they're boasting right now because of a victory. And others, we're told to boast because of tribulation. And either way, God is at work in us. And all God's people said, amen. Really? And I'm reminded of Hebrews 12, where it says that the Lord disciplines all the children that he receives. And no discipline is pleasant, but it leads to a great harvest in our lives. And so the tribulation is something that we have to, by faith, rejoice in, because God uses that as well. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word to us through Paul, the book of Romans, how it clarifies that you justify us based on what Christ has done, a gift to us by your grace, and we receive that by believing the promise, but by believing you, and even as it was credited to Abraham as righteousness, our faith is credited to us as righteousness. But also, it's not just in the past. You are working now in the present, in our lives, in trouble, in trial, in times of testing, times when things are hard and we have to go through difficult experiences so that we get stronger and more skillful in living your word out in real life. Help us to do that in your strength. Help us to do it, as we're told here, with rejoicing, even though that takes faith to do it. So give us the hope that we need, this great confidence, so that we can do that day by day. And we do know, Lord, that you'll bring us to that secure future as you promised. And so it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.